The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3. We're going to be reading the better part of that chapter. Very well-known passage, probably one of the verses in that passage, probably the best-known verse in the world. John, chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Pay particular attention to the next two verses, if you would, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We'll go down to verse 35, last two verses of this chapter. The Father, that means God the Father, loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We'll end our reading there. John 3:16. I would say, looking at the crowd here this morning, that probably I guess 80-90% of those seated here, maybe more, could quote that verse. That verse was the verse that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That verse spoke to me. We'll quote it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Tremendous verse. I'm sure it's been preached on before, and that's what I would like to do this morning, is to speak about that particular verse, John 3:16. We live in a world today that has lots to say about love. And as we understand it in a human perspective, we love our wives, We love to eat. Hollywood has a totally different perception of love because they're in love and out of love all the time, aren't they? We see that. So there's lots of ideas about this word called love. There's people in this world that have experienced very little love. There's people in this world, probably not in this country, but in countries of poverty, that see very little love. Parents who maybe have been killed by war and terrible tragedies, and not a lot of love going on in their lives. The love that we're going to speak about this morning is that regardless of who you are or where you've come from, there is a God that loves you. Now you might say, well, we hear that. I've heard that before. And many religions would talk about the love of God. And that's a great thing. But we want to break down this verse this morning in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. One author has put this type of love that God has for humanity. To remember, he's not in love with planet Earth, the ball. And there are some that would put him as the astronomers and as people would understand the vastness of the universe, and they would see all the galaxies and solar systems, they would almost think, how could that be? The universe is so vast. How could he love men and women on planet Earth? And they would almost diminish the fact that he does. But the Bible is very clear, for God so loved the world. There would be people that would want to debate that world, that term called the world, and we're not going to do that this morning. There would be some that would limit God's love. We're not even going to go there this morning. But we're going to ask some very pointed questions. Did God send his son for you? Did the Lord Jesus Christ die for you? Are you, this morning, here in this chapel, are you loved by God? Most people would agree that they're loved by God because of all the attributes of God that we hear in Christendom, love is one of them, isn't it? It's probably the most predominant. We don't hear a lot about judgment. We don't hear a lot about a God that is righteous and just, but we do hear a lot about God loves you. We're all God's children and he loves you. There's a vast difference between that type of mindset and the truth that's contained in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, there was a problem, and you've heard it time and time again. There's a problem that divides us or separates us from the love of God. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what that actual love is, what kind of love that is. But there's a problem, and we've heard it time and time again, and it's a problem of sin. And your sins have separated you from God. Isaiah 59 would say this, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities or your unrighteousness or your lawlessness has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. God's salvation this morning does not fall short of any individual here this morning. It doesn't accomplish a salvation for just a few. It's extended to the whosoever. And the verse starts out in a very general term, doesn't it? For God so loved the world. And we ask some pointed questions. Does that include you? But it's very generic, isn't it? For God so loved the world. And most people would admit to that. But the verse gets very specific, and it says that whosoever. And he's bringing it to the individual. God's salvation does not fall short of any mark. It is complete. You are not in control if you refuse to believe. You are actually in bondage. This isn't my quote. I wrote this down from someone. It's not God's plan falling short of you, of your reach, but your sins keeping you without reach. Two very common verses that would explain how to get a hold of God's salvation. Romans 10, verse 9, 10, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Very simple message. What is the result of God's love poured out upon humanity is so that they will not perish. They will not perish. You see, in every age, in every through the history, through time, there has always been the problem of sin. From the inception of Adam and Eve and right through the human race, through all the stories in the Bible, and right up till 2009, there has been a problem, and it's the problem of sin. But with that, in the Word of God, many times there was judgment poured out upon nations because of their turning away from God, but there was always a way out. God always provides forgiveness of sins by repentance, about turning away from that sin. And the nation of Israel is a very good example. If you're not familiar with your Bible enough, the nation of Israel, time and time again, turned away from God, and God poured down judgment upon them. But we're not talking about nations here this morning. We're talking about you individually. We want to bring the message down to the individual, and that's what God does. He saves people, or he allows them, or they perish individually, one at a time. So if you're here this morning and you're in a great group, it's kind of almost a security. But you know what? God speaks to the heart. And he deals with people individually, one by one. Should not perish. That simply means if we take it at its word, take it from exactly what it says, his will is that you ought not to perish. We need to determine what this word perish means. We've heard of perishable things in a grocery store, things that have a certain shelf life and through time they perish. And time, I remember different times talking to individuals, and people love to, when you give them a Bible verse, they like to say, well, that's not what that means. How could it mean that? But this here verse, in my mind, is probably one of the clearest verses in the Word of God telling people what will happen to them if they believe not the gospel. They will perish. So it's important for us this morning to understand what it means to perish. Will should not perish. To destroy. The completion of the process of destruction. Now, we're all perishing physically. That means our bodies are deteriorating. We know it as we get older. Can't do the things we used to. A lot of us think we can, but we can't. Our bodies our joints, if you're in using your body physically, aren't as strong and as supple. And those that are older know that they couldn't do the things they did 20 years ago. We're deteriorating, and our bodies are eventually breaking down. That's one idea of perishing. But the Bible here this morning, in this verse, is not talking about the physical body. It's talking about the soul. It's talking about who you are. And as we are created eternal beings, that is to say that we were created in the image of God, we have what is called a nature or a soul that will live forever. And the opposite of perishing is eternal life. In the verse here it says everlasting life, but it's a quality of life. Eternal life is the opposite of perishing. If you're not saved here this morning, your soul is perishing. Now maybe you think, these are a few things that you can say to God when you meet him and you've never trusted him as your Savior. Are you able to say these things? Why did you allow me to perish? Why didn't you tell me what it was all about? Why didn't you tell me how serious this was? The answer to that question is, you'll not be able to say that to a God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have the quality of life, eternal life, but have eternal life. There will be no excuse. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, and that's very important to remember this morning, because God could have given an angel. God could have said, I'm going to send an angel, one of the archangels, I'm going to send him, and he's going to die for the sins. Would that have been enough? Could that have accomplished salvation for men and women? Could that have set us right with God? Could have you sent that? Could have you done that? Well, he might have, but it wouldn't have accomplished. You see, it's important to understand this morning that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, the perfect Son of God. God gave everything. God gave his eternal Son for men and women. That's vitally important in the gospel, because this morning, if he sent anything else, if he sent anything short of that, we would be dead in our sins. We would have no hope without God for all eternity. But he didn't. He sent his eternal Son, the one that was beloved to him, that was everything to him, that existed for all eternity, always existed. He was the eternal one, and that's who he gave. And what did he do by giving him? He came to earth, and it was mentioned this morning in the meeting, the three different phases of the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, and his death. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. I want to ask another question. Do you think that there will be anyone in heaven in a coming day that will not appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't believe it will be. Mind you, there will be degrees of appreciation, but no one will get into heaven having not appreciated the greatest gift of all. We're not talking about a gift that's a grab bag gift. that you just snatch it up and on your way, as little kids do. I know my young ones, they say, well, is there a gift? And they go to a birthday party. They're used to these little gifts, not only for the one that has the birthday, but they all want to get a gift. And they just snatch it up, and there's all kinds of little treasures in that gift. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about a gift. We're talking about something that cost heaven everything. We're talking about the one and only eternal Son of God who gave himself for you. That's what we're talking about. And there'll be no one that'll enter heaven without appreciation to some degree or level of what he paid, of what he accomplished. How about you here this morning? Do you appreciate him? Do you understand who he is? And we were admonished or encouraged this morning to get to know him, because he is our Savior, the eternal Son of God. What's really at stake this morning? Let's get down to bare bones. What's at stake for you here this morning? What will you lose out on not trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? What, leaving the doors from Charlottetown Bible Chapel this morning, turning your back on the message, what's at stake? That's what we need to get to, because there's a price. There's a price to be paid for not trusting Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, that price is eternal life. Someone has said, and I don't know if it's true, that those that have sinned, that sin will take those sins with them if they've never trusted Christ, and they'll make payment for them, and they'll have the 9 sins in their life, whatever they may be, and they'll never be gratified, and they'll perish and burn in hell. There'll be no gratification for anything they've done, no sin that they do. I don't know whether that's true or not. But I do know this, that there was payment made for your sins. And if you do not trust Jesus Christ before you enter eternity, you will suffer judgment for your sins. How many sins does it take? Does morality come involved in this scenario? I'm a pretty good guy. I don't do a lot of sin. I'm a good citizen. Well, we want to stay focused on what we're talking about. We want to stay focused on this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, believeth in him. There's a phrase out there, it's called believing unbelieving. I don't know if you've heard of it before. There's a lot of people that believe, but they don't believe. I've talked to them. I believe there's a God. God is a God of love. He wouldn't do that. I believe that for God so loved the world. I believe that. Believe. That's where we want to get in on this morning. Believe. Do you think it's possible to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and perish? Do you believe that he came down to earth and he died for the sins of men and women? Do you believe that? Many do. Do you believe that he's eternal? Many do. Do you believe that believing all those things can get you to heaven? Do you believe that believing all those things will still end up some people in hell? And the answer is yes, it will, because it's believing unbelieving. It's just a mental assent, and it's never gotten to the heart. Trusting or believing is basically throwing your weight upon it and saying, you know what, I don't care about anything else. If there's anything else in this life that's going to keep me from understanding that Jesus Christ is my Savior, I don't want it. And there's many out there in Christendom today that believe and they don't believe. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe? Do you really believe? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've gotten a hold of the truth that Jesus Christ is my Savior and He died for me? Or do you just believe? We need to define the terms. Because the cost of not believing is perishing. And as important as you are in the community, and as well as your life is going, and the fact of the matter is, more than likely, if you walk out this door and don't believe, things won't change. You'll still do okay in business. You'll still maybe be successful. But there will come a time in your life when you will die. And as one gentleman said, and then what? Then will your believing, unbelieving be of any value? That mental assent that God is a God of love, will that be any value to you? I wrote down this. This gift can only be received upon appreciation of its worth. I want to read a little caption that I read in this book. It's a great little book on this particular verse, and I haven't got a lot of information out of it, but it's "For God So Loved" by Sidlow Baxter. I want to talk about this idea of your sin. And if your sin has been paid for, or has it been paid for, or are you still carrying it? And to illustrate this, this gentleman wrote this. Away in a tropical country, a traveler was attacked by a snake. He fled from it, but it pursued him. Almost breathless, he came to a river and plunged through to the other side, so that the flowing water might mercifully separate him from his danger. But scarcely had he reached the farther bank before he heard the hiss of the reptile behind him, and on looking round, saw to his horror that it had followed him through the river. It was a water snake. And you can remove yourself from the influence of the gospel, and you can never attend this place again. And you can live your life however you choose, because God has given us choice. But I will tell you this. You will never escape your sin. There's only one way to have your sins taken care of. And just like that snake followed him, and he thought he was secure, it was right there. See, you know what? You can't escape yourself. I tried that. As a young man of 18 years old, convicted of my sin, I could remember times when I was upset about eternity. And you know what I chose to do? I got in my car, and I drove 2,000 miles away and worked away from this place, and from the influence of my family, and from everything that had to do with religion. And I can tell you, there wasn't a night that I could remember putting my head on the pillow and not being convicted about my sin. Because you know what? My sin followed me. Oh, you need to get your sins taken care of. You need to be right with God. And you can have the quality of life that is eternal. If it was just life, if it was just an existence that lasted forever, that would be one thing. We would never die and never be punished for our sin. That would be great. But it's a quality of life. It's eternal life. Do you know what that means? It's with Him. We're going to be with the Creator of the heavens and the earth for all eternity. It's a quality of life you do not want to miss. And He's saying, I'm going to give you that, and I don't want you to perish. but I want you to believe. And we don't want to complicate it this morning. It's a very simple message. By and large, most people are not getting it. It's just simply trusting. Don't just believe it with your head. Get down serious with God. The message is clear. God loves you. He planned in eternity past to save you from your sins. And the means by which he chose to do that was the sacrifice of his eternal begotten Son, the perfect one, on your behalf. That's the plan. And he's presenting it to you here this morning. And he says, and I ended with those verses in that chapter, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on that individual. God is not willing that any should perish. He's not slack concerning any of his promises, not willing that any should perish. You see, there's two destinies. You've seen it in those gospel meetings. The gospel hall uses the chart. And if you're not familiar with the Word of God, it is a little complicated to read because it has a lot of scripture verses written here and there. But in essence, it's two roads leading to two destinies. Two whosoever's. John 3:16, whosoever believeth in me should not perish. And Revelation 20, verse 15 says this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is real stuff. This is real 2009 stuff. There's nothing more important. This is real. You can walk away from it, or you can embrace it. You can say, you know what? I believe it. I take it as my own. I don't want to perish, and I understand that Jesus Christ is the answer. Let's pray together. Father, we have a tremendous salvation, so great a salvation. And Father, we want to understand more about the one who accomplished it. And we think in this meeting this morning, with the numbers that we have, there's more than likely someone in this room that has never come into the good of the love that you had for this world. But your desire, Father, is that they not perish. And you want to be in a relationship with them, believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves them. And Father, may it be the case this morning that they would just simply understand that Christ died for them. And they could be eternally secure and enjoy heaven where God desires them to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're a little early here. I wonder if we could just end by singing.